Good afternoon, everyone. One furious job applicant was in disbelief after he learned during an interview that he would be paid $12 an hour for a TJ Maxx position. The man, whose full name was not disclosed but goes by @SoBeatMyAss, took to social media in front of 362,000 viewers, saying he was, quote, not taking that effing job. On TikTok, we'll explain the backstory. In the headlines on the update this Wednesday, it's day two of the former president in court. And fresh from that lower Manhattan courtroom, he visited a bodega in Harlem, where a man was stabbed to death. It's a stark pivot for the former president as he juggles being a criminal defendant and the Republican challenger that's intent on blaming President Biden for crime. We'll have the latest details. In Queens, the NYPD clashed with migrant vendors and confiscated their apparently stolen merchandise in a troubled block in Jackson Heights that's known for its illicit open-air market and hookers on the prowl. For the first time since last June, the New York Mets have a winning record. Jose Hernandez balked in the go-ahead run in the seventh. Jeff McNeil added an RBI double as the Mets beat the Pirates. And Senator Bob Menendez, he may seek exoneration at his bribery trial next month by blaming his own wife, saying that she kept him in the dark about anything that could be illegal about her dealings with New Jersey businessmen, according to court papers that were unsealed. This is the update, Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Wednesday. A Wednesday that puts us right near spring break of 2024. Happy hump day, of course, to all of you out there. There's just 2 days to go, and the anticipation, of course, is building immensely. You know, many people believe that a vacation, it starts on Monday, or, you know, the next day when you're actually off. But I personally believe it happens when you leave from school or work that actual day before. Regardless of your opinion, our focus and your focus should be on relishing in this break. Don't you agree? Of course, after the break, the unofficial start of summer, Memorial Day weekend, is not that far down the road after that. In the weather department, there's some rainy conditions, you know, today through tomorrow afternoon, like not a washout, just some spotty showers and all that stuff, you know. But for spring break, the weather looks pretty decent. Sunshine, 60s, maybe even some 70s down the road. We'll just have to wait and see on that end of things. In the meantime, though, I'm Brandon Julian, of course. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Wednesday's proceedings with the former president in court, day two of him in court. Fresh from that lower Manhattan courtroom, the former president, he visited a bodega up in Harlem, where a man was stabbed to death. It's a stark pivot for him as he juggles being a criminal defendant and the Republican challenger that's intent on blaming President Biden for crime. Trump, he stopped by a Sana convenience store. It's a tiny bodega that sells chips, soda, and other snacks. Trump aides say that the former president and the presumptive GOP nominee chose the store because it was the site of a violent attack on an employee, a case that resulted in public criticism by DA Alvin Bragg, now prosecuting him. The visit was Trump's first campaign appearance since this trial began, making, of course, the presumptive nominee the first former president in U.S. history to stand criminal trial. Sticking with the former president momentarily. This first trial, of course, is also the one in which Americans are the least convinced that he actually committed a crime. At least that's according to a new poll by the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research. Only about a third of adults say that Trump did something illegal in the case, which for which the jury selection, of course, began on Monday, while close to half think he did something illegal in the other three criminal cases that are still pending. And they're fairly skeptical that Trump is getting a fair shake from the prosecutors in this case, or that the judge and the jurors can be impartial in the cases involving him. Still, half of Americans would consider Trump unfit to serve as president if he's convicted of falsifying those business documents to cover up hush money payments to a woman who said that he had a sexual encounter with her. As we continue to mention, of course, this is a moment in history about Donald Trump facing criminal charges in an American courtroom, the first president to do so, yet only a handful of observers are able to see or even hear what's actually going on live. Instead, most of the nation is getting news of this trial secondhand, starting with the preliminary motions and jury selection on Monday. Reporters in that Manhattan courtroom must convey what is being said to the outside world after the fact. That's because of a state law here in New York regarding media coverage of court proceedings. It's one of the most restrictive in this entire country. Last week's death of O.J. Simpson, of course, whose murder trial beamed live from a California courtroom, captivated the nation three decades ago, was a telling reminder of how the state of New York is behind the times, or at the very minimum, a holdout. Now, on to some of the other news of this Wednesday. And a 10-year-old girl in Brooklyn was fatally mowed down by an SUV on the street yesterday afternoon. According to the NYPD, the child was struck by the car in the Williamsburg section of Wallabout Street and Wife Avenue at about 2:40 in the afternoon, where she suffered severe trauma to her body. She was rushed to Brooklyn Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. The driver, a 62-year-old man, according to law enforcement, remained at the scene. No charges have been filed, and no criminality is suspected at this time, of course, as the probe continues. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where the highest court in this state took up a case yesterday that seeks to throw out a regulation requiring health insurance policies to cover medically necessary abortions, a lawsuit that could jeopardize a similar state law. The challenge was filed by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany and other church groups that argue that the rule violates their religious beliefs. State financial regulators approved the abortion coverage requirement in 2017, and the legislature codified it in the law in 2022. The religious groups are only challenging the state's regulation, not the law, meaning that the coverage will remain in place regardless of the outcome. But the Court of Appeals actually throws out the rule. Attorneys in the case said that the law could then be challenged using a similar argument, giving the case larger implications for abortion access in New York. The rule does include a religious exemption, and short arguments in the case yesterday revolved around whether the exemptions give too much latitude to officials to determine which organizations wouldn't need to follow the requirement. Meanwhile, on the streets of Jackson Heights in Queens, the NYPD yesterday, they clashed with migrant vendors and confiscated their apparently stolen merchandise on a troubled block that's been known for its illicit open-air market and hookers that are on the prowl. Police raided the spot for the second day in a row after many of the illegal vendors fled, when designated spotters apparently tipped them off that the cops were on their way. The raid came after coverage of the spot that had one local store owner complaining of the relentless shenanigans. Yesterday, the cops were back at it, converging on a triangular block bound by Roosevelt Avenue, Elmhurst Avenue, and 91st Street at around 1 in the afternoon, to scoop up apparel items from about 10 vendors who had displayed the apparently stolen wares on blankets for sale. Mateo Hippolito Dominguez was thrown to the ground by an officer as cops confiscated his goods after an officer was heard accusing him of brandishing a box cutter. In other news, down at City Hall, black immigrants, they turned out by the hundreds yesterday. During a hearing about racial inequities in this city's shelter and immigrant support systems. Over 1,500 immigrants, mostly from Guinea, assembled in City Hall Park after it became clear that only around 100 would be accommodated inside for the hearing. The city council, they considered relatively minor proposals. One set of bills will require administrators to collect better data on migrants in city services. Another effort, a resolution, called on the federal government to eliminate or to reimburse immigration application fees. Members were asking for better data because they believe, with some evidence that's been acknowledged by city officials, that black migrants are more often turned away from shelters, denied access to help in their native languages, and less able to find accommodations for religious practices than others. City officials say African migrants are also more likely to arrive to the city without children, meaning they're often less of a priority for the limited shelter space. Under a recent legal settlement, the city can evict adult migrants after 30 days, and 60 days for those under the age of 23, before forcing them to reapply for another spot. It's unclear how often those migrants end up sleeping on the street or in a subway car. And finally, we're going to go back over to Queens, because there are hundreds of freshly planted trees that have been ripped out of a park by vandals to clear the green space for their DIY dirt bike track. And the locals are calling on the authorities to track down these very selfish bikers. According to the Parks Department, some 300 shrubs and saplings that were planted by volunteers last year, not far from a cycling velodrome, were reported to have been uprooted at Casino Park back on April 7th. Jane, who is a substitute teacher in Flushing but declined to give her last name, told the New York Post, quote, "It makes me angry because I love this park. I've been living here for many years. It's very selfish because this is for the public. They're only thinking about their own pleasure." The teacher, who's lived in the neighborhood for 20 years, said that she was worried that reckless off-road bikers could potentially hurt her dog, who she regularly walks in the park. She added, quote, it can be dangerous if they're going to be riding their dirt bikes here. They usually ride fast. They could run over my dog. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we returned on the update this Wednesday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports, and now for the first time since last June, the New York Mets, they have a winning record with their win over the Pirates. We're going to talk together, of course, the latest national news and how Bob Menendez, the senator from New Jersey, may seek exoneration at his trial by blaming his own wife, saying that she kept him in the dark about anything that could be illegal about her dealings with those businessmen, at least according to the court papers that were unsealed yesterday. And at the end of the broadcast today, there's a furious job applicant that was in disbelief after he learned during an interview that he would be paid $12 an hour for a TJ Maxx position. The man, whose full name was not disclosed but went by at So Beat My Ass, took to social media in front of 362,000 viewers saying he was, quote, not taking that effing job on TikTok. So on this Wednesday, where, you know, it's a little bit dreary, we're not a washout by any means, you know, you can still go about your business as usual. We're marching down the road to spring break. It's only 2 days away. So on this Wednesday, this hump day, we're going to talk about all that and a lot more, too, of course, folks, when the update of Brian and Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council. Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Where has the Brandon Julian, you know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right.
It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the Update with Brandon Julia. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street Jackson Heights because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer, an MTA employee, or use the Help Point intercom in stations. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So the Mets, of course, who began the season 0-5, and all the people I was reading on social media were like, well, this is going to be a very long year. They seem to have broken out of that funk, because I can say for the first time since last June, the New York Mets have a winning record. As they beat the Pirates. Jose Hernandez balked in the go-ahead run in the 7th. Jeff McNeil added an RBI double, and the Mets beat the Pirates 3-1. Joey Wendell came off the bench and delivered the game-tying double in the 7th. The Mets have now won 9 of 12 following that 0-5 start to move over 500 for the first time since early June last year. The Mets came back to beat the Pirates for the second straight night and have won 4 straight series after dropping the first 2. Wendell replaced an ailing Brett Beatty, who left the game with left hamstring tightness at third base in the top of the 7th, and doubled off of Luis Ortiz, who took the loss in this one, moments later. That scored Francisco Lindor, who drew a 1-out walk from Ortiz and went to third on Pete Alonso's sharp single in the center. With 2 outs and runners on 2nd and 3rd, Hernandez was summoned to face McNeil, but before throwing a pitch, the left-hander committed a balk that allowed Alonso to score. McNeil then slapped that double to left, making it 3-1. North of the border we go now in Toronto. Yankees and the Blue Jays are going at it. The Yanks having their first losing streak of the year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he reached base 4 times and had 2 RBIs. Yusei Kikuchi won for the first time this year, and the Blue Jays beat the Yanks 5-4, handing them their 3rd straight loss. Bo Bichette hit an RBI single, and Justin Turner added a sac fly, as the Blue Jays became the first opponent this year to win a series against the Yanks. They had won 5 series, the third time, in franchise history, matching its starts of 1926 and 2010. Guerrero went 2-for-3 with 2 walks and 2 singles. And finally, we've learned that Fritz Peterson, which if you ever watched Oh Yeah on SNY, it's basically like a highlight show looking back at the best sports moments of each of select years. And in the beginning of the episode, they always, in some episodes, they play a little clip of him with Fritz Peterson, because basically him and his teammate Mike Kekich in 1973, they didn't just swap wives, they swapped families. They even swapped pets and kids. But anyway, Fritz Peterson, he's died at the age of 81. He died of lung cancer in his home in Winona, Minnesota, back on the 19th of October, according to health records from the Winona County Vital Records Department. His body was cremated. News of his death began to emerge on Friday with an announcement by Northern Illinois, his alma mater, which erroneously said that he was 82. Peterson disclosed in a Facebook post in July of 2018 that he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease several years earlier. He told the New York Times in 2009 that he had prostate cancer 2x. The Yanks said in a statement, quote, "A formidable pitcher, an affable presence throughout his 9 years in pinstripes, a known prankster and well-liked among his teammates and coaches, Peterson had an outgoing personality and inquisitive nature that brought lightheartedness to the clubhouse on a regular basis and belied his prowess on the mound. He, of course, will be very deeply missed." In West Virginia, that transgender sports ban, it violates the rights of a teen athlete under Title IX, the federal civil rights law that prohibits sex-based discrimination in schools, at least according to an appeals court they ruled the other day. The weather is making a vengeance across the country, strong storms causing damage in part of the middle across the heartland, spawning tornadoes in Kansas and Iowa, including one that left 2 people hurt. And an American Airlines passenger is dividing opinions online after she was filmed seeking vocabulary help for the cult classic game, of course, Wordle. Gonna talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, because national news, it's next for us around here, of course, when the update Brain and Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long, news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well.
Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Brandon Julian. You know, folks, of all of the podcasters and the news anchors in the city of New York, I just so happen to be one of them. I just think I'm a little bit different than the rest. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you're listening to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of April for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us as we navigate the road, of course, to spring break in the good year of our Lord of 2024. Like I said, thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. Let us talk together right now, of course, on the latest national news. And we're going to begin right here in New York, where the Senator Bob Menendez, who's going to be going on trial next month in May for bribery, may seek exoneration by blaming his own wife, saying that she kept him in the dark about anything that could be illegal about her dealings with New Jersey businessmen, at least according to the court papers that were unsealed yesterday. Several sentences in a court filing back in January by lawyers for the Democrat were unsealed in Manhattan federal court after some news organizations insisted the public disclosure was required. Menendez's lawyers had redacted the documents, claiming that sentences revealed the trial strategy that could bias the jury pool. According to the passages that were unsealed, Menendez, he plans to testify about what he believes were exculpatory communications with his wife Nadine if he does decide to take the witness stand in his defense. The lawyers wrote, quote, "While these explanations and the marital communications on which they rely will tend to exonerate Senator Menendez by demonstrating the absence of any improper intent on Menendez's part, they may inculpate Nadine by demonstrating the ways in which she withheld information from the senator or otherwise led him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place." As they sought to sever the trials of the senator and his wife, The lawyer said they plan to assert at trial that Menendez lacked the knowledge necessary to commit a crime and did not agree to any of the conspiracies that are outlined in the indictment against him. In other news, we're going to go down to Charleston in West Virginia, where the state's transgender sports ban violates the rights of a teen athlete under Title IX, the federal civil rights law that prohibits sex-based discrimination in schools. At least that's according to an appeals court they ruled yesterday. The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 that the law cannot be applied to a 13-year-old who's been taking puberty-blocking medication and publicly identified as a girl since when she was in the third grade. In last February, the court had blocked the state's bid to kick Becky Pepper Jackson off her middle school cross-country track and track and field teams if the law were enforced. Judge Toby Heitens wrote that offering her, quote, a choice between not participating in sports and participating only on boys' teams, quote, is no real choice at all. Heitens wrote, quote, the defendants cannot expect that BPJ will countermand her social transition, her medical treatment, and all the work she has done with her schools, teachers, and coaches for nearly half her life by introducing herself to teammates, coaches, and even opponents as a boy. The court ruled in favor of the ACLU, its West Virginia chapter, and LGBTQ interest group Lambada Legal. They sued the state, the county boards of education, and their superintendents back in 2021, after Republican Governor Jim Justice signed the bill into law. Forced to hide her true self, Joe Horace's transgender daughter struggled with depression and anxiety until about 3 years ago, when she began taking medication to block the onset of puberty. The gender-affirming treatment helped the now 16-year-old find happiness again, according to her father. Well, now, a decision by the Supreme Court late on Monday allowing Idaho to enforce its ban on such care for minors could jeopardize her well-being once again. Horace is scrambling to figure out next steps and is considering leaving Ohio, where he's lived his whole life, to move to another state. Horace, who lives in Boise, told the AP, quote, it would be devastating for her. If she doesn't have access to that, it will damage her mental health. Horace is among the Idaho parents that are desperate to find solutions after their trans children lost access to the gender-affirming care they were receiving. The Supreme Court's decision allows the state to put in place a law last year that subjects physicians to up to 10 years in prison if they provide hormones, puberty blockers, or other gender-affirming care to people under the age of 18. A federal judge in Idaho had previously blocked the law in its entirety. The ruling will hold while the lawsuits against the law proceed through the lower courts, although the two transgender teens who sued to challenge the law will still be able to obtain care. We're going to head over to St. Louis, and we're going to talk about the weather, which we only address on this program, as you know, when the weather is bad. And it definitely is across the heartland. Strong storms, they've been causing damage in parts of the heartland yesterday and spawned tornadoes in Kansas and Iowa, including one that left two people hurt. An EF1 tornado touched down shortly after 6 in the morning near the northeastern Kansas town of Richland, according to the National Weather Service. The twister reached speeds of up to 100 miles per hour and was on the ground for about 20 minutes. Two people were injured when their RV flipped over during the tornado. Details about the injuries were not immediately available. Buildings and trees were also damaged in the neighboring town of Overbrook. In central Iowa, a barn was demolished and other buildings were damaged after a tornado touched down in a rural area of Dallas County. The Weather Service also reported ping pong ball sized hail in Bloomfield, just north of the Missouri line. There were no immediate reports of injuries there. The Weather Service also said that the central part of the country was under threat of severe weather through yesterday. Thunderstorms were expected in parts of Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, and northwestern Illinois, potentially with large hail and damaging winds. Some isolated storms were also possible in the Mid-South, according to the Weather Service. And finally, is it really C-H-E-A-T? Well, an American Airlines passenger was dividing opinions online after she was filmed seeking vocabulary help for the New York Times' cult classic game, Wordle. The video was uploaded to TikTok last year and recently shared to the TSA's Instagram page, where it took flight yet again. The original clip, which has over 1.5 million views, begins with the unidentified passenger playing Wordle, which of course tasks passengers with guessing a 5-letter word in 6 tries on a flight from Santa Ana to Dallas. When the camera zooms in, it becomes apparent that the flyer is toggling between the Times app and a website of recommended words, suggesting that she's trying to game the system. The clip's uploader, Alex Yanchura, age 35, certainly seemed to think so. She told the Floridian, told People magazine this week, quote, "As a daily New York Times Wordle player who takes the game more seriously than one should, I was shocked at what I was seeing. Thank goodness for 9x Zoom." And just thank goodness for that. And also, thank goodness for good pay. Because a furious job applicant was actually in disbelief after he learned during an interview that he would be paid $12 an hour for a TJ Maxx position. This man, whose full name was not disclosed but went by at So Beat My Ass, took to social media in front of 362,000 viewers saying he was, quote, "not taking that effing job" on TikTok. Gonna talk about this because your honorable mention is next when the update of Brandon Julian continues.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the Update Brandon Julian on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of April for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, there's just enough time left today, of course, for your There's just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. let's face it, this job, this economy, it can be very tough finding a job out there. I can honestly say I'm one of the lucky ones. But one thing when it comes to jobs many people are worried about is the pay. Can I make a living with what this job is going to be paying me? So, there was one furious job applicant that was in complete disbelief after he learned during an interview that he would be paid $12 an hour for a TJ Maxx position. The man, whose full name was not disclosed, but goes by the username @SoBeatMyAss, took to TikTok in front of 362,000 viewers, saying, and I'm, like I said before with these types of stories, I'm going to be using the full curse because we're all friends here, and we've all used this type of language before, I'm sure, especially when it comes to work. So he took to social media in front of 362,000 viewers, saying he was, quote, not taking that fucking job. The applicant, who appears to be from Pennsylvania, said, quote, why the fuck did I have a job interview at TJ Maxx the other day? And then everything went well, but in the end, the employer told me that they pay $12 an hour and get paid every week. He continued in his rant, quote, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm not taking that fucking job because what the fuck? That's why their clothes are so cheap, because they're not paying. That's why their clothes are so cheap, because they're not paying those people. The applicant said he ended up taking the position when TJ Maxx called him back to tell him that he was hired, but he has since second-guessed his decision-making. Axel beat my ass, said in confusion, quote, I'm truly baffled. I don't know why I wasn't able to tell this man no on the phone just now, knowing I didn't want to do this job. Now, I'm probably not just going to show up because I don't even know what to do. Because $12 an hour, I couldn't even wipe my ass with $12 an hour. At the end of his tirade, the stressed out now employee asked viewers to let him know exactly what he should do. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, starting minimum wage at TJ Maxx for Pennsylvania locations amounts to $7.25 an hour. The popular retail store, known for its discounted name-brand clothes, home appliances, jewelry, and more, is known for paying minimum wage for non-manager roles. Many viewers told the new hire he should keep the job if he's currently unemployed, but still be on the lookout as he's still unsatisfied with the pay. One cheerful commenter said, quote, some money is better than no money, and paid weekly. I do it until you find better. Good luck to you. Another person advised, well, you already said yes. If you aren't working, work there and continue to apply and interview other places. Some were shining attention on the frustrated man needing to speak up and negotiate his low-ball pay. One person wrote, quote, dude, you gotta negotiate. You gotta say, I'd love to, but I really need $15 an hour. They're starting at the bottom, but they have corporate permission usually to come up a certain amount. Another replied, just call them back and say you got another offer for more money. Sometimes they come back to up your offer. So I guess we'll see what happens to that man, and good luck to him. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024. That's the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian, and we appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of my favorite episode series, we're going to look back on the conclusion of year number one of this program, and also celebrate the first anniversary of it. That's coming down the road in May, wherever, of course, you listen to this podcast, and we'll tell you the date when we cross over into there. So until you schleppeth around the umbrella for the next day or so, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And, honey, I'm sorry about what happened on New Year for when the clock struck midnight. And I dropped that ball off the roof. I didn't know what it was. You gotta believe me. I didn't know it was your best friend. We're counting down the road to spring break. It's just 2 days away, and the anticipation continues to build. Let's talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, folks. And I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.